This is File 49, Cycle 2. This is Jean McMillan. I am privileged to be able to interview both Gail Benson and Sarah Wardell on the renovation of the Scoville Memorial Library that took place back in the 1980s. But first, we're going to start with the genealogical information, and I will start with Gail Benson first, and then I will switch to Sarah Wardell. What is your name?
My name is Gail Benson.
And your birth date?
My birth date is officially the English way, the American way, 9 September 17th, 1935.
And your birthplace?
Birthplace is a little village called Farnham Royal. Farnham?
What county?
Bucks.
Ah, good.
England.
Oh, yes.
Good. Oh, Bucks County.
And your parents' names?
Clifford Longdon and Molly Longdon.
Do you have siblings?
I have a brother, John Longdon, still living.
And how did you come to the area?
I had an American godmother who always wanted me to come to America when I was 17. When I was 17, it didn't seem very appropriate, but so I came when I was 21 to visit her. And I decided I wanted to get a job in advertising in New York. I'd had a little experience in London. So I got a job on Madison Avenue in an advertising agency called Ogilvy, Benson & Mather. And met my husband, Bill Benson, who was an art director there at the time. And worked in New York for about 3 years, 2.5, 3 years. And then Bill and I got married.
Oh, good.
So as we were not, ladies were not expected to work in those far-off days, if they didn't feel like it, or if they had babies, I didn't work in advertising again.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there, and I'm going to switch to Sarah.
My name is Sarah Wardell. My maiden name is Belcher.
And your birth date?
11/9/42.
And your birthplace?
Greenwich, Connecticut.
Your parents' names?
Ben and Nancy Belcher.
Do you have siblings?
I was born into a family of 6 kids, and 3 of us are still alive. So I have a brother and a sister.
The ones that are still alive?
Mm-hmm.
Their names?
Ward and Jane.
If you were born in Greenwich, then how did you come to this area?
Oh, that's a good question. my grandparents, my father's parents, started a farm here around the time of the First World War, perhaps a little before that. My father's father had grown up in a family in just across the line in New York State. And going many generations back, the Belchers were farmers in the Ancrum area, Ancrumdale area. So they established a farm over here on Route 112. And although when I was young, I went to school in Greenwich, all of our vacations and all of our summers were spent at the farm. So we really grew up here.
Good, good. Now I'm going to ask about the renovation, and I'm going to just let you two ladies piggyback off one another.
Sure.
Because the voices are different enough that I'll be able to tell when I'm transcribing.
Right.
Yeah, shall I start, Gail? Please.
If Jean's got a question.
No, she's going to start.
Do, please.
Okay, I came to the library, I think, in about 78. I had been working in the Harvard library system and had a young child and decided to move back home, as it were, and fortuitously the library was looking for a librarian. So I took the job, as they say, and times being what they are, to quote The Wizard of Oz, I took the job. So that was in the late 70s. And were you the head of the board, Gail, at
yes.
that time?
Yeah.
But Don Kobler had been. before
you... Oh, no, I wasn't president of the board then. Don Kobler was president right through till...
Till you took over. Yeah. Okay. So we decided quite early that the building needed renovation. There were a lot of problems. The lowest level of the stacks was very damp. The water table underneath this building is very high, and that's one of the things that we did. And Gail became head of the board later. But yeah. We worked with Don.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about how you became... Yes, when you became head of the board, do you remember?
How did you come onto the board?
Some friends... Bill and I came to live here year-round in 1970. Before that, we'd come up for weekends and holidays where Bill's parents had a summer home here. And I joined St. John's Church, being an Episcopalian, or at least Church of England. It was sort of suited me. And some people at St. John's said to themselves, oh, this is a lively young woman. Let's have her on the board of the Scoville Library, because they were all in everything together. And when they asked me, I thought of two dear ladies or more who were board members and ran the library from, you know, the board point of view, who had white hair pinned back in a pulled back into a bun on the back of their head, like ladies did in those days. And I thought, I'm not old enough to be on a library board. I'm not old enough to do anything like that. But they persuaded me that they'd like me to try. So I did try, and having youthful energy, though I had three children at home to look after, I began to... First of all, I was given this job of coordinating the library and the 1976 biennial.
Right.
And Sarah and I met there because we were both asked to help the library to put on a show for the biennial, and we had to go around to a lot of people's houses getting their family portraits and things like that. And
yeah, so, old diaries and things.
Yeah,
we got some really old family diaries.
It was very interesting.
Yeah, it was really interesting, yeah.
And so then Sarah applied for the job that we of librarian.
Polly Miner had retired.
Yes, yeah. I remember her.
She was retiring, yes,
yeah.
At that time.
Yeah.
And so then I was on the board by then, and Sarah and I began to try to change a few things or see what could be done. And quite soon concluded that a lot had to be done.
One of the first things was take down all the quiet signs that Polly had put up.
On the children's tables.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
The whole library had been built not around children. Anything to shut children up. So they put cork floors in the children's room down here. They put Armstrong ceilings across the top. And we had no idea that there's such beautiful stuff up there in the ceilings.
Right.
And these shush signs everywhere for the children. And actually, very soon after that, we decided we had to do something. So we first of all did a questionnaire in town.
Right.
That was when the only computer in town was Hotchkiss's mainframe IBM or whatever it was that they had been given.
Harriet Morrell was working there then.
Yeah, so we put out these flyers on the desk, high desk, where the library was at, saying, would you like to answer these questions? And we put in 40 questions. We didn't realize quite what a job we were giving ourselves. Because then when we gathered them all in, and we had to punch every question into punch cards on the computer and every answer, and it was very, very hard work.
It was time-consuming.
Very, yes.
And, Gail, do you remember that when you walked in the building, the circulation desk was on the right, as it is now.
Yes.
It was one of those high things where the librarians peered over at the children. But it's very ironic that over the years, the circulation desk is now, again, where it was.
It is ironic.
Where it was
and where it's high. Because one thing we heard on that questionnaire, when they at the end they could make their own comments, was, get rid of the dragons at the door.
Yes.
And I remember that phrase. Probably only one person used that, but they were all saying that. Sort of thing. They didn't like being looked down upon by librarians. They were very scared of them, and Polly Minor was a scary person.
She was.
Bless her heart.
She was.
And we decided that we had to, or the architects designed these low desks so that even the children could be on face
much
level
more friendly
with the seated librarians.
Who was the architectural firm that you chose?
Well, I don't remember the name of the firm, and we haven't found the records yet.
Huygens.
But his name was Rem Huygens.
Yes. Huygens and Tappe.
Oh, Tappe. That's right.
H-U-Y-G-E-N-S.
That's Dutch. He was Dutch.
Yes. And Tappe, and one of them, I believe it was Tony Tappe, was married to a librarian.
Oh, really? And so he had all those good ideas.
And when you have a major renovation, you want your architects to understand libraries.
Yes, absolutely.
Which isn't always done, and I'm not sure it was done this time, because they really understand.
They've got a feeling for what they're doing.
And they have a feeling for the public service nature of it.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
How it has to be welcoming and comfortable.
Yeah.
Yep.
And not the old gorgons at the doors, you know. I mean, all of whom have gone to their just rewards now, but were pretty intimidating.
Yeah, they were.
They could be.
They could be,
And the building itself is intimidating.
My God, the building itself, it still is. You look like you're walking into a prison.
And people thought it was a church from the outside.
Yes, it is.
Designed, and the design was chosen by the ladies, the Scoville ladies who'd given the library.
Exactly.
And they loved a church in Petersfield in England or something,
wasn't it? It's the Romanesque style, ancient Romanesque.
Yeah.
That.
But with the tower.
Yep.
So this does look like a church when
it's common on university campuses.
And we had very high, steep steps. No ramp. And so it was intimidating. You walked through these big doors, big heavy doors, and came upon these high desks with the librarians perched up on the top of very high stools. And then another intimidating thing was in this part, which is like a wing, which was here.
Yes.
They had stacks. All the stacks were here.
Right.
And they had glass block floors. And also the
iron stairs.
Iron stairs.
Circular stairs.
Circular stairs. And iron posts, or whatever you call them.
Hard to
right
get
through
up.
From ceiling to basement. And the glass blocks were balanced on these iron structures.
Yeah.
And you could see through. And you could even drop a book from a shelf through to the next floor down. So you had a feeling of tremendous insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
And the women all thought that
people
they could
look
see
up their skirts
because they weren't wearing pants in those days.
I remember it well.
And actually, for older people, it was hard.
Very hard.
To get up those stairs. It was not friendly.
Very.
And the lowest level was very damp, very wet. Because I remember when we finally put on the new stack wing, I had to get all those books out of there.
Yeah.
And I would come in my jeans on a weekend and pile them on a book truck and take them around.
Yeah.
And they were literally dirty books.
Yeah. Yeah.
And somebody stopped me when I was pushing a book truck and said, I want to talk to you, some older person, about the dirty books in the library. And I looked at the books and I said, boy, you're right. They're really dirty. And we continued to have two different conversations for about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I said, I'm taking care of those dirty books right now. And she looked so relieved.
Yes. Who was the building committee? Who was on the building committee?
Mike McCabe's the only one I remember.
Yeah, Mike McCabe.
Because we had to go around and look
Douglas
at so many
Furman
libraries.
Was Douglas Furman.
Furman. Yes.
And someone was the clerk of the works. Who was that? Because that's an important position. Was it Tom?
And he came to he and I had to get, every week we had to meet with the architect, Douglas Furman, and that person. But
I don't remember.
I don't remember.
That's all right. Yeah. That's all right.
Someone was a clerk of the works, and actually, the committee...
clerk of the works would be like overseer?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yes. And watching the budget. And whoever was... Oh, I know.
Douglas Furman.
It was Doug Furman, maybe.
I don't think he was clerk of the works,
no,
but he was the budget guy.
He was, and
every
he did a good
nail
job.
We knew the price of, every screw.
Yeah. I thought the committee did an excellent job. They worked, and I thought the Huygens and Tappe were terrific.
How do you spell a Tappe?
T-A-P-P-E. E accent.
French.
Yes.
Well, I did the accent, but I didn't know whether it was
two
one P or two P.
Two
okay.
P's. Yeah. And I forget who the builder was, and that's too bad because...
He was a very nice Italian firm up in Pittsfield.
We had a good builder.
And I've forgotten his name, but one day we'll find those records. And
I know.
One day. Here in the library.
Well, everybody got
and
along
I had
fairly
to
well.
Meet with them. I was chairman of the building committee.
Right.
And so I had to call a meeting every week for months, if not years. And we had to have the clerk of the works, the architects, he had a subsidiary architect from West Hartford,
right.
Charlie, whatever his name was, and
it's a long time ago.
And Douglas Furman watching the
pennies,
and me.
Yeah, people took it very seriously.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yeah, and I used to make notes. I'm very fond, like you're writing notes there, Jean, and I would write the phrases that people said, particularly at the end of a topic, and write them down by hand. And at the end of the meeting, Rem Huygens' person, or Rem, if he was there, would take my notes back to Rem's secretary.
Right.
She would type them up. And they always said that they always knew exactly what had been said for or against anything during those meetings.
And that's so important.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's so important.
I have to say it worked really well.
Yeah.
And they listened to the staff, they listened to me.
Oh, good.
And yes,
and
they were, it was a good process.
And they were fun meetings.
They were fun meetings.
You know,
we
what happened when we finally got through all the building and opened the new library, we had a party, of course, and Sarah and I and various other board people were standing waiting for the guests to come into our beautiful new hallway. And Rem Huygens came in. He's a little short fellow, very slender, short, nice guy.
Nice guy.
And he came up to me first and gave me a big hug. And I was quite surprised because we hadn't been sort of close that way. And he said, then he stood back and he said, "Gail, I want you to know that you are the first building committee chairman that I've ever kissed."
Oh!
I had that down, believe me.
No, he was a lovely guy. Both of them were really nice guys.
Yes, they were.
Yep. And the one thing I also remember about that whole process was we had to, of course, get most of the books out of the library. We had a very small lending library for a while. But certainly when the books came back, they were in storage. We had a book chain of people from town who lined up and handed them
boxes.
Yeah, and handed
I think it was.
Yes. And then
the books themselves to go into the
exactly.
Yeah,
they
right.
they had a chain
into the shelf.
I think I was on this chain.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it was really to get the community
involved. Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
Yes, and they didn't do that this time, and I was really sorry.
Yeah.
Because
the community loves to do it.
And it's the community
hybrid them all in their shelf order. And it was a very, very hot day in August.
Yeah.
And when we had to pack the boxes to go to the storage. And we found that the boxes wouldn't hold on the bottom because it was very, very humid and damp. Everything was damp.
Right.
And so Joe Loy, who was leading this group of people packing boxes, said, what we need is duct tape. And, you know, we all turned to her and said, "Duct tape? What's that?" We'd never heard of it. So someone goes off and buys several rolls of duct tape and comes back with it. And it was so humid that day that the duct tape wouldn't stick onto the bottom of the boxes. So we had a very hard time. We had to get enormous lot more boxes.
But so many people were involved in this process of taking the books out and handing them to each other from one person to the next.
In perfect order.
Yes, that people really felt this is our library and we're making it happen.
Yes.
And that's so important.
Yes,
the
it
library.
Is. It is.
You have to feel that it belongs to the whole town.
So it didn't happen with this renovation.
No, it didn't.
No.
There were a lot of things that were different with this renovation, and I know that because John Hoffman is clerk of the works, and he's my next-door neighbor, and I did an interview with him, there were a lot of things that weren't thought through completely, and there were a lot of glitches that happened, which is nobody's fault. It's just, it was a different type of renovation.
Well, and the board is different. There are a lot of people who are not local.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
And I think there were some frustrations with the staff felt.
I know there were. I know there were.
And Claudia felt.
Yep.
And that was the great advantage that we had an architect who really knew about libraries.
And you had fun doing it.
And yes, we had fun doing it.
Yeah.
And everybody worked quite well together. I mean, obviously there were glitches and frustrations.
Oh, sure.
But still, we all worked well together. Yeah. And we
had a lot of fun.
We had a lot of fun.
And we didn't have... I think that today, for this renovation, nobody knew that we'd ever renovated the library before, because I mentioned that I was the chairman of the renovation committee, and Claudia said, oh, what renovation?
Yes, so, I know.
If they had asked us, if they'd known to ask us, we could have given them a few tips about, as you say, community service.
I actually talked to Noel Sloan about the human book chain, and I said, if you can do that, it'll make people feel that they have, that they're participating, but it never happened.
Tell me about funding. Where did you get your money? Was it all private?
No, we got it. In those days, the government was, very active in these things, and the National Endowment for the Humanities would give money to libraries that were building, renovating, etc. You had to apply for a big grant.
Yeah.
So we got a 2-to-1 match, I believe.
Yeah.
And from the National Endowment for the Humanities, we got a huge check, because not only did they match in dollars, but you could, your volunteer time was considered a match.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got I forget what the actual amount was.
It was about $1 million that we had to raise.
Yes.
We knew we had to raise.
Yes. And so we got a huge check from the National Endowment for the Humanities.
Wonderful.
We would never have been able to do it without it. Mm-hmm. We wrote this grant proposal. We went down to Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I went down later, because a year later, to the National Endowment, because they often invite winning libraries, librarians, to come the next year to participate in who gets the next match. And that was really fun and interesting.
Yeah.
But we were very lucky to get that money, and they just don't give it out today.
No.
But we did have a fund drive. And
yes.
A bigger one later, about 10 years later, we had to get a professional fundraiser.
Right.
But at the first one, the fund drive, Rosina Warner.
Yes.
No.
She was Warner.
Yes. At that time she was Warner.
Yeah.
Now she's, then she was Rossier, but now she's gone back to her maiden name.
I think the second fund drive was to get furniture and stuff, wasn't it? Well, it wasn't to redo the building so much.
No, it was for an endowment.
Yeah.
We had no great endowment, and so it was that kind of asking people for $100,000 or whatever kind of fund drive.
Right.
And I've got the records of that.
Which and we also went to the town to ask them to give more money.
Yes,
and
we did.
And we're very successful.
Yes, and every year then we applied for a town grant and we're given it.
Yeah.
Now still.
And that's still done.
There were still people in those days who thought that the library was free to everybody, but taxpayer, don't have to give the library money.
They thought it came from heaven or something.
Give the town money for the library, because, yes, it came from heaven.
Exactly.
And before I became when I started in 1972, I think, on the board, the board chairman, presidents, I mean, had always just been somebody who was important in town and society, local society, and had money, and he would be the board president for 25 years if he felt like it. Nobody
right.
voted him in or out.
Right. No term of office.
No term of office.
Yeah, so when I finally became board president, I changed the bylaws to make the president could be have two terms back-to-back of 3 years and then out.
Right. No, and of course, that made perfect sense.
Okay. Yeah.
And at that time, lots of organizations were, the light went on.
Yes,
that you can't have somebody there forever.
No, and also that person in those days expected to give the money if the library wanted anything. I mean, I remember having these scary discussions with Arnold Whitridge. If the library needs money, they come to me and I'll give it to them.
Exactly.
That was when he was president,
right.
especially.
Very 19th century.
Yes, then. Yes. But we do not ask the town for library money.
No.
Okay. Now, in this renovation, what actually was done? I have down the new wing.
Exactly.
Ask about that. Mm-hmm. Special ceiling?
Yes. Because we wanted...
I just want to do a list, and then we'll go back and talk about each...
Right.
Okay. The ceiling of the music... Is it called the music room now?
The front doors.
Mm-hmm. Front doors,
front doors were changed.
Do you remember Skip McMillan polishing them?
Yeah, we'll get to
with
that.
The children were put in what was originally the adult reading room with the fireplace.
Yep.
But that room had to be fixed up, and the lighting for the whole building had to be made better.
The ceilings taken up.
They did work on the roof.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And the ramp.
You remember the slate tiles?
Yes.
Get slate tiles.
The ramp and a lot of drainage that people don't see.
Yeah.
Because it was so wet underneath. They put in,
Like Salisbury Cathedral, huh?
Yes. Like Salisbury Cathedral. Lots of drainage.
Okay. Now, let's go back. This is the order that I have, so we'll go that way. Tell me about the special ceiling that was installed.
Well, what I recall is that we needed to put in the lighting in that room. And because the lighting was very dim.
This is the room with the fireplace?
No. This is the room, what's called the Kobler room. It's, as you go into the room with the fireplace, it's just on the left.
Square room on the
left.
And what did you call it?
Well, it's now called the Kobler
room. We named it after the president of the board at the time of that renovation.
Don Kobler. Who was a lovely man who had been the head of the English department at the
Donald Kobler.
I remember him.
Yeah.
So we needed to improve the lighting in there, which had one of those 1950s horrible ceilings. And so in order to get up there, they had to break through the ceiling. And lo and behold, they found a beautiful plaster ceiling, elegant plaster ceiling, that had a few holes in it. So we ended up putting up a big scaffolding. We had to raise extra money for this. Putting up a scaffolding and finding a plaster mold maker.
Yep. Yep.
Who could copy from one side to the other and fill up the holes. And she was up there like, what's his name, in the Sistine Chapel.
Oh, yeah, right.
For a whole summer.
But actually, it was the frieze around, wasn't it? It wasn't the top of the ceiling, as far as I
remember.
There was a hole in the frieze.
Like
this. Mm-hmm. We never knew. You know, it had these tall windows out facing front, like the other side of the door.
Yes, but halfway.
And we would come up the steps, I would, and look and see that you could only see through the windows... there's something in the middle stopping you from looking.
It was.
And I never thought
that there was something above it.
Fake ceiling, and there's a beautiful ceiling above it.
We none of us thought until, and really, it's fabulous.
Until the electric.
It cost us an extra at least $10,000 or $12,000 to do that. Which nowadays,
don't
try to do it today. But it was wonderful because we'd go in there, and here'd be this young woman up on the scaffolding doing this stuff.
Putting
out
these plaster fruits and leaves and things again.
It was totally fabulous.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
The front doors. Tell me about Skip McMillan and the front doors.
Skip's father, Hugh McMillan, was on the board always.
Pretty
much always.
Always.
And... He loved looking after the yard, the lawns, and the trees and all that, which he did beautifully and paid for it all himself. So he brought in his young son, who was in his 20s, I guess, and because he knew that Skip loved polishing beautiful objects and things like that, looking after them. So he and Skip designed with the architects these very handsome doors, all these little windows made out of whatever wood it is, mahogany or something.
I think it's a little intimidating still, but anyways.
Yes, they are.
Yes.
And they're very heavy.
Very
heavy. Oh, yes.
But you can't put very modern doors in there.
No, you can't.
Without spoiling the tone, I suppose.
Exactly.
So anyway. He would come with his tongue oil and
special. I remember that.
Do you remember that mixture
of
oil he used to make?
Yes.
And he polished every edge of every piece of wood.
Something
down
out of Gilbert
to the
and Sullivan. Polished out of
Pirates of Penzance. It had to be done 10 times before it had all soaked in. Oh, goodness. They still are very handsome.
Oh, they are. But they are heavy.
Yeah, they are.
Now, with the new wing, was it built for the number of volumes of books, or was it just built for a certain length of
space?
I would say both square footage. Yes,
so it was as well as volumes of books.
Absolutely, and also what it provided us with was a big meeting room downstairs.
Yes.
So and we
yes, which we never finished then.
No, we didn't.
There was no way we had
we finished
money.
It later.
Mm-hmm. But it was built on the side of the back of the building, so mm-hmm. That's why you see the stone walls. Those were the outside walls.
And we went through a lot of stuff about what kind of limestone we should,
you know. That was very difficult because
it was
so expensive to have anything that we would like. And the slate tile roof, we had to accept the fact that we simply couldn't afford
a slate tile roof. No, and we would have done it if we had more money.
Yeah.
But we didn't, and the tall, thin windows, how much light did they give? And there were a lot of problems that we had to go through. And lots of...
And fighting people who thought that we shouldn't put anything modern in the way of materials or design on the back of the library.
That was very controversial.
Yeah.
And a lot of compromises had to be made.
Yeah.
But it has worked out well.
Copper gutters and things like that we did put in.
Yeah.
They were expensive.
And I understand, and I may be wrong, that this wing is built so that it can support the weight of the books.
Yes.
Yes.
You had to figure that.
We were told, in fact, when you design and build a library, it must be stronger than a car parking garage. Because books are heavier than cars.
They are.
Let alone people walking around. So we were given all sorts of good advice about how
to
buy that.
And the architect knew.
Because of the architect.
They knew.
Yes.
They knew.
Oh.
And the toilets. You know, they knew all about how, whether you should have... At the time, we had two little toilets down the stairs.
Yes, I forgot that.
Back of the hall there.
Yep.
The stairs are probably still there, but probably in better shape.
Yeah.
But they, you'd have to go down these dark stairs. You'd have to ask the librarian to light the lights and everything. Very, very, very spooky.
Yep.
So we had quite a lot of discussion about the toilet that we ended up with, which is
on the main floor.
Sex. What do they call it?
Yeah.
Whether we should have a ladies and a gents, finally decided, have one for all,
and big
enough for the... We had come into all those regulations.
Wheelchairs
by
stuff.
Which was why... So people were very happy to find that there was a toilet on the main floor.
And then we put one downstairs as well, which was perfectly adequate, and is now even nicer.
Yes.
So... and that's, you know, that's one reason why people, if you're in a strange city and you want some nice place to rest, and to talk a bit
The restroom is the first room you need.
Precisely.
Oh, absolutely.
And you always get nice advice from the staff as
but
to where
to have. But we never
knew
that in those days. Do you remember? Mm. If you left your house to go into town for something, you had to wait till you got home to do
well, exactly.
It.
Exactly.
It was not in
There's
the
no
supermarkets
place.
Or anywhere.
There's no loo.
Except a church. If you belong to a church,
if you belong
you
to a church,
a second
possibly,
home.
Possibly a town hall.
That's true.
That's about it.
That's true.
Yeah, but the town hall was just as scary. Their toilet, before it was rebuilt. Probably that fire happened about roughly the same time.
So it did.
85.
Yeah.
Yep.
Tell me about the ramp.
Oh, gosh. We had agonies over what it should be constructed of because people wanted it to be exactly like the limestone in the front. Mm-hmm. The limestone for the whole library when it was built in 1892 or whatever was cut from limestone in the local area by a firm of Italian stone cutters.
Right.
And they had their machines and they did it all. The machines are still in Canaan, so we were told that they were there, but no one knew how to use them anymore. And it would be extremely expensive just to cut enough for a ramp.
Yeah.
And so
we went to Indiana or something.
For the caps.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it had to be done with blocks of concrete blocks.
And it was very controversial because people thought it would be ugly. It's, it's not terribly ugly.
They didn't want to ramp anyway.
They didn't want to ramp anyway.
No,
they didn't care about people in wheelchairs.
No.
And we put all kinds of planting in front of it.
Oh, yes.
And the whole issue of planting around the library has always been sort
that
of a big deal.
That was Hugh McMillan's baby.
Yep. But it's turned out well, and mothers with strollers use it, and children run up and down it.
Oh, yeah. And skateboarders.
And skateboards, precisely, right.
Yeah.
It's turned out to be...
And some of us whose legs are beginning to get
exactly. And we have this wonderful mountain lion, you know, the blue lion on the front, which softens and makes more friendly, I think, the entrance to the library.
But that was...
Yes, I know. I know. People, that's still a...
more recent.
That's much more recent.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The furnishings, you and Sarah, you picked them out.
Yeah.
It was more of a... I'm going to say William Morris...
Yeah,
we went to Boston.
We did.
And talked to the architects, interior decorating people. One thing we didn't know, which I'm sorry about, well, they've changed that furniture now, was that if you put red in the sun, it will fade faster than any other color.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And
we used a lot of red.
We loved red and green on the upholstery.
Yep.
And they were very comfortable chairs.
Oh, they were.
And I loved in the children's room those shiny red little chairs. They didn't fade too badly. They were Italian chairs.
Were they?
And for the recent, they got rid of all of them. And they were in good shape.
Just recently?
Yes, they
Why?
Were in good
Why
shape.
Why did they do that? Because they were very beautifully made.
I don't know.
I think they were donated to some library.
They did. They did.
So they weren't rubbish.
They went to a good cause.
Yeah. So what have they got now? Something instead?
In the children's downstairs, they've got sort of animals and things to ride on, but... I was sorry, frankly, that they got rid of those red chairs.
Yeah.
They could have used them downstairs.
Yes, they certainly could.
But,
and they were very comfy even for us to sit on because
they never asked me.
No.
There was a lot of things that they didn't do. And I think it was through ignorance in some respects.
It was entirely ignorance because they didn't know that Sarah and I had anything to do with that renovation.
There's so much...
The records.
You know, I'm going to go back to the oral history, but this is why I'm doing the oral history.
Right, so people know.
So people, I mean, I've done Tom Key's renovation, I've done John Hoffman's renovation, I'm doing this renovation, so you've got a basis for...
Right. Something that might come down the line.
You can go back and ask, this is what was done.
Yep.
Yes, I've got pictures, but, you know, this is what I'm trying to do as much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
For the various changes.
No, I think that's terrific. And I think the one thing I would say to anybody who wants to renovate this building again is get an architect that's done the library.
Yeah.
You know?
And cares about...
And cares about public service buildings.
And another thing, I don't know, maybe I mentioned it to you so you have it on your list there, about the far end, where the Smith and Bingham collections are.
Right.
We were given a pretty big donation by the Salisbury Association
in
order for them to have their records in a proper place.
Yeah.
And so we sealed off that. That used to be the librarian's office.
Upstairs.
There.
Yes. That. But now downstairs it's Claudia's. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You can so, get up there.
So that whole end actually was sealed off with doors and you have to use a key.
Yeah, right. When I first started this job, yes, I had to use a key. Yeah. Now because it's part of Claudia's office, it's open.
Oh, okay.
But I store things upstairs. And I had a young lady that was doing research on this library as a youth library, and she was blown away that we had some of the Bingham Smith books.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. So that's still special collections, and they didn't touch it, thank goodness.
Yeah, no. Right.
You know.
How long did this renovation take? Months, years?
That's a good question.
Well, years, well, but not...
A year at least of real busyness.
A year or two, maybe.
Maybe
from
two
start
by
to
the
finish.
Time. Yeah. Oh, yes, from start to finish,
I would say.
The work would have taken
but
probably
that's not,
a year.
But that's not too bad.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't.
Raising 2 years, the money maybe. And...
Well, we were so lucky to get the big grant and to announce this big grant because it made people see the library as important.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And see the concept of libraries as important to the federal government, for God's sake.
Yeah. I think I can find out that when I get home.
The grant?
I was going through my records for the library I had kept, and I found two diaries. I had this little pocket book. Diaries with dates on it. I've kept all my pocketbook diaries, but I didn't have those, and I might have put them in there in my bag of stuff for the library. Mm-hmm. So I'll have a look and see if those are the right years.
Is there anything that either you, Gail, or you, Sarah, want to add to this interview before we close?
Yes.
Good.
Gail and I had tons of fun working together.
Yeah.
And B, if you go out the side door, it's hard to see, but when they put the cement step in, Gail and I put our handprints in the wet cement and with our initials.
In the upper, you go up the stairs to the main level of the library. Yes, we did.
We did, and you can still see it if the light is right.
Have you gone to look for it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I was taking my grandchildren.
I was showing it to Claudia.
Yeah?
And I said to Claudia, she should try to find a way to put her handprint somewhere.
Yeah.
And we could even get that re-cemented and do it again. But anyway, I remember we were thinking when the whole thing was over, how are we going to record our impact?
Of course.
And so we sort of looked around and we thought, well, we'll just do
that'll
something
be there
in the cement.
Forever.
Exactly.
Well, somewhat forever.
Somewhat. Yep.
Yes.
Exactly.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. That's really neat.
Yeah. I mean, if you took a piece of paper and sort of scribbled on it like you do with gravestones, you can see the imprint. It was a lot of fun.
I can't wait to get my kids over here, my grandchildren, to look at that. They love that kind
and,
of thing.
And also, the upstairs, the attic of the library, which they've done away with, and I understand because it opens it up better and there's more light, but still that was a fun place to mess around in.
Yeah.
It had all kinds of treasures up there.
Yes. What is it now, though?
It's gone.
Well, so there's a high ceiling there instead?
There's a high ceiling instead. You can go up the stairs here.
Yeah.
And you can go up into the clock tower.
Yeah.
But you can't, you know, you could open those doors and then you could go up into the attic from the clock tower.
Yes,
that's
yes.
That's what we have as storage.
Exactly.
The Salisbury Association storage there.
Yes, but in the main part, if you go behind what is now the checkout desk and look up, there's no attic there. In the center part.
No, it's gone.
Right. And so there's an attic over Claudia's office, and there's an attic up to the, attic space up to the bell tower. But that's gone. And remember at the base of the bell tower downstairs, we called it the dungeon.
Yeah.
We used to have, and that's still there. Yeah. I don't know what's in there.
Yeah.
But I think you'd need a key to get in there. There was storage.
We ought to go over all this, look at it again.
Yes,
it might
should.
Bring us back, bring
some
back
things.
Memories and things. Mm-hmm. Also, I really do want to find all the files that we had for those years of the renovation, because we certainly made them and kept them, but I didn't keep them at home.
Well, there were files up here, as you know,
and
I don't know where they've gone to.
So we need. We,
you know
if
where
we
they
can
are.
Do that sometime.
Yes, they're underneath Claudia's office. If you go downstairs into the basement, you know there's a a place where the band, the town band, keeps their instruments.
Yeah.
And then there's a sort of there used to be a large print storage place. And then there's the space where they organize book sales and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's another room at this end. But we should go spooking around in there.
Yeah, let's do that.
Particularly underneath Claudia's office.
Yes.
There used to be an office for the bookkeeper.
Yeah.
And that's got a lot of files.
Yes, because when I asked Claudia about that, where they might be, she said, well, during this renovation, things have been moved here and there, and I don't know. But after the renovation, I should begin to know where these files are.
Well, you and I could do it one of these weeks.
Yes,
just go down there.
And please let me know, because as town historian and archivist, I
want
to
know where it is.
Yes, they are part of the town history.
Oh,
that's really important.
Thank you, ladies, both of you. This
You're
is
welcome.
Splendid.
So welcome. I've
oh,
enjoyed
it's
it.
Wonderful.
And as we got talking, I began to remember that.